Good. So, Yashkach to Jeff Weinberg and the Chevrat Meridian. We're in Perek Yutes, or Yutches in the other Sefer, Page Vesh Tesvav, and Kuf Tzadik in the other Sefer, where it says, V'lekutei Halachas, Hilchas Nachlas. We're learning about the beginning, how one begins his Bodhidus. Unless it's an explosion, it's an emergency. And even if it's an emergency, one should try to hold and to remember that we're Jews, and as Jews, we're called Yehudim, and a Yid is somebody that knows how to be thankful. That's what it means, a Yehudi. A Yehudi is a Lashon of Haidah. And Haidah means to be thankful, to be grateful. So a Yid always has to be thankful, to be grateful, and has to begin, when talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has to begin by expressing that gratitude, by thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by being Meshabeach Hashem. And that's how Chazal set up all of our tefillahs. We saw last week that goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Eschan Lashem, Ata Hachilos La'as Avduch Es Godlucha, that before Moshe Rabbeinu cried to Hashem about coming to Yisrael, he thanked him for all of the chesedim, all the kindness that he had in his life, and all that he had until then. And that's what we have to do as well. But there are many deep reasons for that, not just as a show of gratitude, which of itself, that in of itself is dayenim. Just that a person should be grateful, it's enough to begin always davening that way. But there are many, many other deep reasons why davening is not davening unless you begin with shavach, haidah. That's the way to begin davening. When a person talks about, thinks about all of the nisim and the neflos in the world that he has seen, in his own life, things that have happened, all the tovus that he has in his life, and so on, that strengthens his emuna to believe that Hashem has taken care of me and he will take care of me. He has in the past and he will. Even though we all know intellectually that Hashem can do anything, Hashem is kol yachol, but like everything else that we know, unless we think about it, unless we concentrate, unless we review, it just doesn't work. Simply doesn't work. So through a person thanking Hashem and taking note of all of the chesedim in his and her life and speaking about it, not just thinking. You don't just say to your husband, to your wife, if you're zeichet to be married, thank you for everything. Or, you know, to get a card for the anniversary that somebody wrote, you know, thank you for everything. A person needs to be a mefarad, as I explained last week. You have to go into the details for all of the, for this kindness and that kindness, all the years we're together, all the good things, and to think about those things and to express gratitude for not just to assume. I was talking to my wife the other day, and so I always try to thank her for whenever she gives me something, you know, to eat. So I thank her, and I said, what's the cheshbon of how many meals you've already made for me over the past 42 years, whatever it is, how long we're married? What's the cheshbon of the amount of caring and love and running to the grocery and putting this up and we started off before there were microwaves. So what's the just to say a lotion of thank you for everything. It doesn't suffice, doesn't bring us to that place. But when a person talks about Hashem's love and Hashem's kindness, and Meshabech Hashem, that's mechazik in us the realization that He has done so much for me, and therefore I should not sink into any kind of fear or worry over what's presently in my life, because He has done for me, and He will do for me. He does for me, and He will do for me, and He can.
Ubekoichu shu kol yochel. Vaz mevarkesh al tzarech mitoch emuna shleima yosef.
So then when it comes to asking for what we need, the asking is energized by this review of how Hashem has answered so much of my life and given me so much of my life, and how he's kol yachol, and that strengthens one's emunah coming into the next part of the davening. An emunah, belief that Hashem can answer, your tefillas, that's a condition, that's a tenai in Kabbalah's tefillas. Emunah is a condition in the tefillas being answered. It's a condition. If you don't believe in the potency of tefillah, if you don't believe that the Baruch Shalom is listening, that he cares, and that he can, if that emunah is weak, then the tefillah is feeble. That davening is not able to get off the ground. And in particular, a person should try to, not just to remember, but to mention in this first part of his book, to speak to Hashem. How I've been zeicha to repile in my davening in general, and let's say you're davening about one of the kids or whatever it might be, that my tefillahs have been answered in the past. I know that you've listened to these tefillahs in the past. And this particular inyan, there were many, many times in raising this child that it could have gone really differently and it would have been terrible. And I believe that you were listening to my tefillahs and you were there for me then. And I'm asking you to be here for me now as well. We find that in Chazal, in the Zohar Kodesh in particular, there's a very deep connection between the mitzvah that we're coming up to now in Yontif. Unfortunately, we're not able to keep this mitzvah the way that it will be kept when Mashiach comes, with the mitzvah of Bikurim, of bringing the first fruits, Beis HaMikdash, Bikurim. There's a very deep connection we find in the Zohar Kodesh between the mitzvah of bringing Bikurim, the first fruits, and davening. And davening, and tefillah. What's the connection between Bikurim and tefillah? What's the connection? So Rabbi Nosson talks about this in a few places. We often forget that the tefillahs of ours that have been answered. We don't remember them. We don't remember that. Like we're going to daven mincha soon, and there's certain things we're going to be davening for, and those tefillahs have been answered. But until you're missing something, you don't think about the tefillahs that have been answered. When the example that Reb Nosson brings is like, when it comes to the kedusha of a bechor, right? The firstborn has special kedusha. It's like the first fruits. The firstborn has kedushas of a bechor. So this opinion had been, what's the kedusha of the bechor? So there are many explanations. What's the kedusha of the firstborn? So Ibn Hassan says that people take it for granted that they get married, they're going to have children. First of all, many people in the world are not able to get married. And then even if they're married, they're not zayicha to have children. Sometimes there are people who can't have. It's just not the imahos for akaris, people that can't have children. Lo'alein. But when you have that first child, the kedusha of that first child is that this has opened up my eyes to see that Hashem can do this for me. That Hashem did this for me. There's a child here. Until that time, if you're an intelligent person and a sensitive person, you shouldn't take it for granted. We all know people who are not married and people who haven't had children. It's not so pashut. I was talking to somebody last week who doesn't have any children. She's had already 7 miscarriages and there was one stillborn. Yeah, he has such a record. And then you have other, you could talk to another mother that says, I can't believe that I'm expecting again. Like it's I was cursed. I'm expecting again. So I always say I got to put these two on the phone with each other to talk a little bit. It's not possible to have a baby. It's not something to take for granted. When you have your first fruit, when you have that bechor, it's the kedushas of bechor is the end of the bikurim, which is the same letter as bechor or bikurim. It's a breakthrough from a place of not having to a place, notice from a place of not knowing whether Hashem is listening to me or whether he's actually listening. He's paying attention to me. And by having that child, then Hashem gives you a little wink and he says, no, comes out that I'm listening to you. You see that I'm listening to you. Once you have that bechor, then that strengthens in you, your emunah, that you could continue on with that, with Hashem's help, to have other children as well. Because you were already taken out of that world of emptiness and darkness and not being answered, and you were answered. And there's a special kedusha to the first fruit. There's a special kedusha for the firstborn child, because that firstborn child is that reassurance that your emunah is important, that your tefillos are important, that they count, that they make a difference. And we take these things for granted. That it's just things happen, they don't happen on their own. So this is a very important part of davening. Rabbi Nosson is, that he's being here from Rabbi Nosson, that one needs to remember that my tefillos, Baruch Shalom, thank you for answering my tefillos in the past. And not to say in a general way, but in a specific way. In a specific way. I was davening. I had this kid, and this kid was became a machal Shabbos ochel mevelos and shreifus. And this kid was whatever was dating somebody that's not Jewish. And I said, Master of the world, I'm begging you. That you shouldn't leave our people. You should stay a Jew. And you should marry a Jewish girl. And you should keep Shabbos and put on tefillin. And then Hashem answered you. And you look at this kid. The kid is back with the chevra. He's back in shul, and he's back with his film, he's back on the program, and he got rid of his girlfriend, and he's back. You don't just say that in a general way. Thank you for helping, you know, why she come back to me. You have to go over it again. He wasn't putting on film, and now he's putting on film. I want to thank you that my son puts on film. He wasn't wearing film for 4 years, for 7 years. He didn't want to touches tefillin, he's wearing tefillin. He's wearing tefillin. If he got married to a Jewish girl, there was a time that I thought that he was going to run away with a goita, and he's married, lahavdil, a Jewish girl. And now I heard the good news that she's expecting. So I was afraid that I was going to, my wife and I, we were afraid that we were going to come from us more Einim Yehudim into the world. And now we're going to, with Hashem's help, with your help, we're going to have a grandson or a granddaughter. You don't just say shkoyach for everything. You understand the difference. Shkoyach for everything, that doesn't work with friends, doesn't work with a husband and wife, and it doesn't, I mean, you should always say shkoyach, but it doesn't work. It's achasadecha, and even mefarit, the chsadim. And then a person realizes, wow, my davening brought the tefillin back to my kid. My wife and I, our davening brought Shabbos back to and now it's bringing a grandchild to the, wow. I don't have to run someplace else in the world to find someone to daven for me. I could daven myself. That's called looking back on the bechor, on the first fruits. There's a kedusha to the beginning. When it dawns on you that Hashem cares, that Hashem's listening to you, that your tefillos make a difference, that they've been working, they worked in the past, and that's mechazik you that they can work in the future. And even though, of course, everybody has disappointments, tefillos that we don't see yet, how they're working. But there are so many more that are. We just figure, I don't know, there are a lot of people, they don't daven, they also have that. So maybe it's not because of my davening. But that's not what Amuna, that's not from a mom in such words. Such thoughts don't come from a mom. All the brachas that we have is from Davin. You know, but you see what other people have. We don't know what that is. But what Hashem has a cheshem with each person. All I know is that all the brachas that I have in my life are from Davin, and that we have in our lives, that's from Davin. Even the tefillos that we don't say with tremendous kavanah, the fact that we're in this inyan with Hashem, those are the brachas. So that's what he's saying here. You should say over the things that you see that tefillos have worked. It's when a person is going through a difficulty and they're davening, so always they start to say, "Oh, it doesn't help. My davening doesn't help." And you say, "Look around. Look at your life. Well, you think you just said tzaddik? You deserve all the good things that you have. Your davening does make a difference." And your davening has been answered a million times. It's just that you're not makir toif to stop and to think about how Hashem answers your tefillos. You just don't stop and think about it. You think that everybody gets up the next day? Who does that? That doesn't happen. Someone goes to sleep and then the next day he's not there. So you get up in the morning, you say, "L'kanei shomer tzaddik b'tahiri," and you look at your watch and you're like this, and you think, "What am I going to have for breakfast after I daven?" L'kanei shomer tzaddik b'tahiri atav rosati. Before that, Moed Ani Lefenach Melechai V'Kayim. Did we say this morning? How did we say Moed Ani this morning? Every one of us here said Moed Ani this morning. How did we say Moed Ani? How did we say Moed Ani? Like imagine if we would take an extra, some people sometimes take an extra 5 minutes in bed. What if we take an extra 5 minutes in bed? I don't usually do that. I jump out. But I was trained like that in the West Point where I grew up in. but what would be so bad if a person takes an extra 5 minutes and the person says, "Moedan lefanecha," for the following things? "I want to thank you." Right? And just even about the things that we got yesterday. That were yesterday, just the things that were yesterday. And to go over some of those things yesterday. Hey, you're not supposed to stay without washing, obviously. It's not good to hang out without washing. But take an extra 2-3 minutes, not so good. The Ruach Ra is not as strong as it used to be. But to take an extra 2 minutes to think, to say, "I wash," not to say anything you can't say without washing your hands, but. And then you go to davening, the whole davening is different. The whole davening is a different davening. Chayda is the key to everything. That's what we're learning about by Pachiyat, so about Akar Satov, Achzok is Toyo. Everything is Akar Satov. So he explains, Ublukut Elochas Hilchas Kilei Behem Adalad. I once learned that Toyo with a, must be already 8 years ago, 9 years ago, we learned a big piece of that Toyo together. It's an Indian of Hanukkah, and it's a very, very, very it's about not mixing tzaras together one with the other, but tzayr chavtali. We learned that some years ago. Shatomik is shaboyim l'espalo v'lishpech siach l'vnei Hashem. Tzarech l'haknim l'asik b'shvach ha-shamakam. L'hoidus l'hal l'Hashem al'chalotev sechsadim sh'osi ima. Yeah, Rabbi Nosson is talking about, he speaks about this also in the beginning of the Lachos in many places. Azamri, he explains Azamri, the Bahash Kamas Abayka. He speaks about by Tikkun Chatzais. What's the name of Tikkun Chatzais? You know, in Breslov, it's a very beginning, Tikkun Chatzais. Not just in Breslov, but especially Rabbi Nachman was very strong with that. A lot of Tzaddikim, a lot of Svardim, they're very, also very strong. Ibn Tzarevi, his Tikkun Chatzais was something. It was unbelievable, his chatzais. But the Indian of chatzais, Rabbi Nosson explains in a few places, is lishbor es hachayshach. That's what I was talking about a minute ago, to break the darkness. In other words, there's a certain, what is chatzais? Chatzais means that it's been dark for a couple hours, and then instead of the darkness just going on and on and on, I say tikkun chatzais. That's right. I said, what is Tikkun Chatzais? Tikkun Chatzais is I'm now interrupting the darkness. I interrupt the normal program of darkness with light, with aura. Person feels that there's a certain momentum of darkness, and the inyan of chatzos is to break that darkness, to break the night. Think also of hashkamas haboiker, getting up early while it's still dark outside, which is the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. Get up. Ayira shachar. And shachar is the same letters as shachor, as black. And ayira shachar is the beginning of Lukat Halachas. It's to wake up early and to stop that darkness, to stop. But people wait for somebody else to stop the darkness. Tikkun Chatzos means that you get up yourself and stop the darkness. You get up yourself and you stop, you interrupt the darkness. And what Reb Nosson explains there is that the way that we do that, besides Tikkun Chatzos, is that when you're going through difficulty in life, chalila, whatever it might be, you're going through some difficulty, and that difficulty means there's darkness in your life at that time, you have to break that. Don't wait for somebody else to do that. Don't wait till Hashem sends you a Yeshua and just sit back. You have to break the darkness. Simcha is a very powerful way to break the darkness. Haidah, thankfulness, gratitude. Joking. Amilsa de b'dichusa. There are different ways that were revealed to us through the Torah and through the tzaddikim of how we should break darkness. To break through. But the ikka and the kuda is that a person should be able to, in the darkness that he's in, to focus on the nekudas tayyus, right? The or that's in the darkness. That's batsarichavtalu. That even while I'm going through this difficulty, it could have been the following ways, it could have been a million times worse. And in this matzav that I'm in, this is the aura that I'm looking. This is the aura that I'm able to see. I see this nekuda taiva in this darkness, and when a person focuses on that, that's called like chatzos. La chatzos means to break, to cross over, to break something in half. There's something in the way, and you smash through. Gratitude, simcha. There are ways to break through chayshah, and one of the most powerful ways of doing that is haidah, is thanking Hashem. Because thanking Hashem means that I'm paying attention to the good things in my life. I'm paying attention to the or. Which there, Rabbi Nelson, some of you were there, remember that Rabbi Nelson was talking about how Chanukah was like a big break in the darkness. Hashem gave us Chanukah and Purim, really. As those breaks through the long years of Galus, we have Chanukah and Purim. Really, Chanukah and Purim on a deeper level holds us as Jews more than the Yom Tov from the Torah. The whole Indian of Chanukah and Purim is that Davke Galus, that whole matzav that we were in Egypt. It's the Koyach of Chanukah, the horror of Chanukah, Davke to when it's dark and to light that candle. The whole Indian of Chanukah is this Bechina of Lahaidus Lahala, the Shimcha God. It's Haidah. Chanukah is Haidah. Chanukah is to give thanks. Purim is also, it's different in certain ways. We're not going to go into that. But Chanukah is very clear. That's what Chanukah is. Chanukah is the most powerful weapon that we have against Chayshach. Against darkness. Yavin means darkness. Chanukah, everyone knows all the Chanukah term. So Chanukah is. Chanukah is. In such a way. Koichav Chanukah. That even though sometimes it lands on a shin, you pick up and you spin again. It's what keeps the Jewish people spinning. Even though it seems to you, so this one, every Chanukah, we play with the grandchildren. Now, it used to be the children, I was playing with the grandchildren. So my father, Olav Shalom, used to be in charge of that. And now I, for long years, hopefully, I took over the responsibility. So now I'm in charge of the Chanukah, of the dreidel, game of dreidel. And there's always two or three of the kids that, you know, they'll get that first, you know, their first spin comes out of shin. And the kid invariably will say something like, "That's my mazel." Like, I got a shin. I always get that. That's a, and I'll say, like, it was just the first round. Like, why do you think you always get a shin? It's just the first round. But emuna means that you keep on spinning. That's what it means to be a mammon. And that emuna comes to us from Chanukah. The koyach of Chanukah, the unions, and where does Chanukah get its koyach? That in the darkness we found a jar of oil. It means that's breaking the darkness, breaking the tumah, stopping the momentum of darkness. You have that sometimes in the family. Sometimes you can walk into the house and there's a heaviness in the house. For whatever reason, I don't know if it happened to you. It happens, you walk in, there's a heaviness. It was a difficult day. And you walk in, you feel like you're walking right away. So there's a heaviness. So you either get swallowed up in that or you try to fix it. You either depend upon somebody else that's going to take care of it, or you become the master of ceremonies. Don't wait for somebody else. And then you have a taina that you have to talk about together with the therapist about how I walk in. My wife never smiles at me when I walk in. So why don't you try smiling first or something? Why don't you try to make a chatzais over here? We're always waiting for somebody else to do that. Something's gonna change. And then you have tainas. He said, the whole life of tainess, this one did that, he didn't, she didn't, and this one did that. So do something about it. Adarabba. You make a tumult of toif, of good, of simcha, to help bring everybody else out. Everybody that's in that, try to bring them out from it. Instead of just having a taina, how come, you know, why is it like this? Why is it? That's all the koyach of simcha, the koyach of haidah. B'tchila al etzem ha'zchia, shezoch elias meklal Yisrael. And there in that Torah, Rabbi Nelson speaks about that a lot. In Kilei Behema, he talks about this a lot. First of all, you might think that you have nothing to be grateful for. Chas v'chalila, that's not true. The fact that a person is able to think is already reason to be grateful. But just to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I'm zochet to be Mikla Yisrael, I'm a Jew. But to have a schiv. You have to mute the phone. What's the statistical likelihood of you and I being Jews in this world? If we go, if the world was statistics, I don't know, it was 0.00. I mean, the world would wish there were less of us, unless they need a doctor very quickly or something. So what's the chances of being a Jew? Not only that, but we're here at like the tail end of history. That means that somehow our Zaydis and Bobbies, they like made it through. That's an amazing thing. I'm not talking about a gear. I'm talking about not gear, it's not conversion. But the ones who are not gear. That means that our parents and grandparents, they made it through pogroms and holocausts. They made it through inquisitions, but they went through all kinds of stuff. Much worse than like your air conditioning being broken. They went through a lot of stuff. And they made it through the whole history, thousands of years. And they're Jews. That's a big accomplishment. That's a pretty big accomplishment. Try to find that consistency anywhere else in the world. So here we are after thousands of years. We are the Jews that are left. That the Baruch Shalom has, after all these years, where the Sheiris have played, from all of history, from Avraham Avinu, with the lost ones, with the survivors from Avraham Avinu. So what a schir is to be a Jew, just a schus that I'm a Jew. And not only that, but I have a schus that I was raised to know that I'm a Jew. And I was a schus that I went to yeshiva. Okay, I had some hard times there. I had a couple of rebbeim I'd like to forget, or a teacher or two, but I learned Torah. And there were some wonderful teachers, some wonderful people that I met there that were good and kind to me. And the schi that we have, just to the things that we take for granted. Zochlias Maklal Yisrael, Kabul Torah Mimeni Yisbarach. Hashem taught me the Torah because my neshama was at Har Sinai. And Hashem continues to teach me. I'm a lamed Torah l'am Yisrael. He's teaching me now. Boichah b'am Yisrael b'yahava. Noisen ha-Torah. Right now, Hashem continues to teach me his Torah. Mechan kol ha-tarbis v'chassadim, ha-nisim v'neflaus she'osa ima ha-shem ezbach, all of the nisim that if we would stop and think, we would remember the nisim that you and I, that we had in our lives. All the nisim. You don't have to go looking in the newspaper to see some stories of Hashgacha Pratis, others. You know, a person to look at his own life or her own life and to remember the nisim and the taivis and the chassadim. Every day. Every single day, evening, morning, afternoon, going back to what I said a minute ago, there's a famous thing in Yaakov Emden, Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddur, in the Yavetz Siddur, the Tisha B'Av, where there Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that the fact that we're still alive, the Jews are alive now, is infinitely bigger nais than the nais of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Kriya Samson, all those nais, was that you and I are sitting here right now on a beautiful sunny day. Erev Shavuos, that we're sitting here and we're learning Torah, but that is a much bigger nais than Dams Fadei Akinah. A much, much, much bigger nais. And anybody who ever studied a little history, a little bit, you don't have to be like a historian, just a little bit of history, knows that the Ibis is 100% right. And the Ibis lived before the Holocaust. That the fact that we're just, the fact that we're here, that we're alive, and that we're Jews, and that we ended up being from parents that still believed in Hashem, and sent us to learn Torah. And if you're a Baal Tshuva, then how did that happen? Not your story about how you were inspired, you know, whatever, you decide to become religious at some shabbat concert or something. I don't mean anything against him. I never heard his music. I don't know. I'm just saying, I know the name. So that's not your story. What is it that inspired you? What's the miracle of how did you end up becoming, how did you end up being, joining the rest of the Chev? Like, how did that happen to you? Out of all your friends and your family and everybody in your life that never thought once about making a bracha, and they never heard of Hoshana Rabbah. They never heard of Zeis Hanukkah. How is it that you now, that you're one of the few that are the Shevis that are left from all of history, that you're one of the few that you daven every day, put on tefillin, keep Shabbos, mitzvahs, that you have an Olam Haba that's waiting beyond anything that any mind could ever comprehend. There's an Olam Haba waiting for each one of us. With all of the mistakes and stuff, there's an Olam Haba. An Olam Haba is waiting for everybody. And even in this world, the life is so gewaldig, being a Jew that's able to have a life that's filled with meaning to every single second that I'm connected to Yachid Echmuch, Hashem is Baruch, every second of my life. How did the Baal Tshuva come to that? And if you're a Ger Tzedek, wow. I've spoken to Gerim that told me the way they grew up, didn't grow up like in a Jewish neighborhood and heard some and saw some nice things. I grew up like in, you know, there's a thing called Amazon where you order stuff. They grew up in the Amazon. Like people, the Jews that I've met, Gerim that I've met, you see that it's so clear that the Baruch Shalom went to some crazy, crazy place. And the Baruch Shalom went like with precision, like with a tweezer, and just took you out from there and plopped you down and said, I want you back. Ger. That's why you see that in general, the Baal Tshuva and the Ger are much more religious than the rest of us. Generally, that's not a cloud, but they're generally much more from the Baal Tshuva and the Geir, because it's much easier for them to be grateful, to remember the gratitude, because it's so obvious to them that it was not going that way. But to the rest of us, that we're raised by from parents, we still have complaints. How come I went to that yeshiva and I didn't like this one? And I wish I could be a Baal Tshuva that way. I could have had a lot of fun till I was 24 or something. So it's just the other way. We feel ungrateful. But a Baal Tshuva, a real Baal Tshuva, or a Ger Tzedek, wow. The Nisim and the Shlos that they had in their lives, how did it come such a thing to be in America 2022? This was not, I didn't go to that kind of school. I didn't kind of come from that family. I talked to Gaim that they came from, mamish like this, that they came from a Spanish family someplace in the city. And they talked to these people. How did you end up over here, like by Menchamar? Like, what are you doing here? And then you hear the story. Because they feel that tweezer of Hashem, like, you know, pulling them. And once you felt that, and you believe that it's there, and don't lose that, your whole life you feel it is there. It's harder for the ones that were raised from families, and we take it for granted, and we have all kinds of tainas. And I don't ever felt Hashem taking me here. I think I felt, if anything, he put me down in the wrong place. I'm annoyed. How come I'm in this traffic jam? You know, what kind of God would put me on across Bronx at this time of the day? So all kinds of tainas. You can't daven like that. All of davening comes from this first part of his avodas, shevach, itemized, strong, filled with Hakaras HaTov, going over my life and all the miracles of my life. Roy Lahavi is the Dvar Vaneflem Shal Rashi, the Perusha Lesiyim Birchas Maidim Drabban. Rashi explains Baruch Kel HaHidos. We say by Maidim Drabbanan. In Chazaras Hashatz, by the repetition of Shemoneh Esrei, when we say Maidim, so it ends with Baruch Kel HaHidos. It's a strange term. Blessed is the God of thanksgivings. That's what it says too?
Yeah.
Okay, so we thank you for inspiring us to thank you. That's good. It's very good. The translation is good. Baruch Kel HaHidos. So look what Rashi, that's we say that all the time. So look how Rashi explains that. Over there, inside the Rashi says, Al Sha'anu Maidim Lach, and that's why the English is very good. Al Sha'anu Maidim, this is what's called. Al Sha'anu Maidim Lach, Al Sha'anasata Bili Beinu, Lios Dvukim Bacha, Hashem, that you inspired us, that you opened us up, you inspired us, you put a spark inside of us. We thank you for inspiring us to thank you. But even that, I'm thanking you for. Because on my own, I'm such a miserable ingrate. I just go from one thing to the next in life, expecting it to be just gewalt. So why do I stop sometimes and have this need to thank you? I'm thanking you for giving me a little bit of a charge to do that. Now, I know you want me to run with that, but thank you for the zap. That's what it means. Baruch Kel HaHidos. The God of thanksgivings doesn't means that you, even that, you help me to give thanks to you. Even that, you say at the end of Moedim Drabban. That's how Rashi explains. Asha Moedim Lach, Asha Nesata, Bili Beinu, Liyaz Dukim Bacha, Moedim Lach. That you gave us, you opened us up, and you planted a seed in my mind to connect to you. And to be thankful to you. Baruch Kel HaHidos. That's Baruch Kel HaHidos. Shetizboinein tira. When you think about this, you'll see. Shagam ha-dveikis shalcha b'Hashem. That even the dveikis that we are sometimes that we're able to feel for Hashem connected to him. V'gam ha-ratzon shalcha l'Hashem. Even that ratzon to thank Hashem. Even the Ratzon to thank Hashem. Be'emes ein shulcha. It's not completely homemade. That's also, Hashem inspired us. Hashem lit something inside. Hashem is baruch, hu zeh shenosn belibcha, es ha-machshava hazu shatet tzarech l'hoidus. Hashem also planted the seed of this thought, that it's time that you talk to me a little bit and give some thanks, and that you express some gratitude. Now, what we're going to learn is that it's not so... So how come some people get more of those zaps than others, right? some people get more of those zaps than others. Otherwise, we would be thanking him all the time. We'd feel a tremendous HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. And if this is something that Hashem is inspiring in a person, because he's the Kel HaYados, he's the God that himself gives us the ability to thank him. So that we're going to talk about, that requires a certain degree of effort in a person to be matar himself, to make oneself into a kli, to be able to receive these little messages, these little tweezers or sparks, to be able to be open to that. So Chazal tiknu bracha miyuchedes al sekes b'ayda. Chazal were misakin shmenesrei, a special bracha just to give thanks. Kodem tzarich l'sragel, and then Chanukah bar mitzvah alanisim there. A person has to thank Hashem for every detail, for everything. And that will awaken in the person a feeling of love for Hashem. And strengthen him to trust in Hashem. To know that Hashem can do anything, that Hashem has done all of these things for me. That even now he won't take his kindness, his love away from me. You cabal tefillah, and he'll listen to my tefillah. But friend, especially beis tzara b'tzuka, b'shoah shelibo netam, especially when you're going through a hard time, and the heart begins to shut down. When you ochel afil l'kro v'lizok l'shem, and you feel like you know you're supposed to. This happens a lot, but there's something chalila that's not going well in your life. And you go to the oil, you go to, if you're necessary, you go to Machon Kodesh, whatever. Or just you're in shul, whatever it is. And you want to cry out and you want to ask for help. But the heart is mamish closed. And then you just like, what's wrong with me? And you can't. By beginning, don't get worked up about that. Start with thanking Hashem. And don't talk about the tzara. We'll talk about that afterwards. Talk about the good stuff, all the nisim and the flaws, all the tovus, all the chesedim that Hashem has done. Do what we're talking about here. And you'll see that after spending some time talking about that and reminding yourself about how much you've had and that Hashem has done for you and how Hashem has loved you, so then that will open up your heart and you'll be able to then address the issues that you want to address. That's the teva of how Hashem made us. Because what often happens is when a person is going through a difficulty, the heart just shuts down. There's a reason why it shuts down, because you don't want to feel so much pain. So the heart normally it's very normal for the heart, when you're going through a difficulty, in order to survive, the heart shuts down. Like I've mentioned many times, and I heard from my parents that during the war, they didn't cry. My mother didn't talk to me about that. My father told me he didn't cry once during the war. While it was happening, you didn't cry at all. The problem is that after it ended, they never stopped crying. But while it was happening, they didn't cry. And many people told me that. But while they were in it, they didn't cry. At the beginning and afterwards. But in it, because if you would be sensitive during that time, and if your heart would be fleshing during that time, you wouldn't be able to continue. You couldn't go for a minute. So what they naturally did was, they just had to have a lev shel evan. You know, you're walking over your best friends every morning. You understand? You're stepping on their bodies. So, and your family. So if you're going to be like this sensitive, feeling person, that the type that cries, so you're not going to be able to manage a minute. So the heart shuts down when there's a tzara. Very often happens to people. It doesn't usually happen when there's one tzara, but when there's a tzara, nachat tzara, nachat tzara. At some point, the person feels intuitively, unless I shut down, I'm not gonna manage. See, it doesn't have to be some horrible, tragedy. You can have a person that's just stuck like in a horrible marriage or like a nothing of a marriage, and they just stop having emotions. So they can't daven with tears either, because if they feel, if they go to that place of emotions, then they break down. And they don't know what to do with their lives like this. You know, just go on. Our heart has no pain. I mean, the heart has no pain. A stone has no pain. A rock has no pain. Right? The rock doesn't have pain. The heart has pain. So if you make it into a rock, so then you go over to marriage. Good morning. How are you? Nice to see you. Happy 50th anniversary. You make it to the end zone. But if you would start to think and to feel that the heart would be fleshig, so then you wouldn't be able to manage with the emptiness, the sadness, whatever. It doesn't have to be a tragedy. So it's very, very common for the person's heart to just close, shut down. I'm seeing this now even with young people. That has a lot to do with going to drugs. A lot to do with going to drugs. The heart shuts down. It's terrible. And the persons can't. People are looking for ways, all different kinds of ways to feel something. But the pain is so great, so they have to deaden the pain, feel something. So that whole world of addiction, that is. The person comes to talk to Hashem as Baruch. So if the heart is hard, it's not open, then you have to open it. The way to open it is with Haidah, with Shevach and Haidah. That's how davening works. Again, to itemize and strong and to daven out loud. There's someplace where people, you know, by yourself and strong. And then you begin to cry. You begin to cry. It opens up. And then you have to hope you're going to be able to stop crying. But you could begin to cry. And there's no such thing that at the heart of a Jew is chlilas, is completely closed. There's no such thing. You have to just pry it open. And this is the way to do it. Okay, there's something to be continued.